General Patton.
He was at least 6 foot one or 6 foot two. Yeah, he was a tall man. I got pictures of him.
Quite an imposing figure then, was he?
Oh, yes. And he made sure he was imposing, too. He was almost always immaculately dressed. Don't remember seeing him looking slovenly at any time. And he demanded that of all these people to be that way.
There was an assembly ball where he would speak to the troops?
Yes. In fact, I have a picture of that. In 1941, it was the first time he did it. In October 41, he spoke to us. As a whole group, he brought all 10,000 together into a boxing bowl and talked to us and tell us how we were going to whip the enemy. And we weren't even in the war yet, October 41. He had a cameraman there that took a picture of the whole division, two different pictures, and we were able to purchase them at that time. But the things he said to us have never been repeated in writing. He always says, "I didn't say those things." And his speeches are always cleaned up. Even though they're still dirty, they've been cleaned up from some of the things he did tell us.
So as we say, he had very colorful language.
Oh, absolutely. His wife would sit in the staff car behind the podium, behind the big screen he had up there where he could tell us what we were going to do, and she wouldn't come out because of the way he cursed.
And that assembly bowl, where was that?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
Then we come to 1941, December 7th, the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Where were you and how did you hear about it?
Well, we were in Fort Benning, Georgia. That month, I was supposed to go home on leave for Christmas. In those days, we only had one radio in the whole company, and it would be in what they called a day room. No televisions or anything, so everybody went to the day room to hear what was going on the radio. So we found out that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. We were all on all kinds of alerts then, of course, and those of us that had passes were called to the orderly room, and our passes were revoked. We didn't go home for Christmas. Our training, of course, even picked up more then, because we all thought we were going to Japan right away, but it didn't end up that way.
This was a new twist then for you, because you were trained to focus on the Germans and Italians.
Yeah.
And here comes Japan. So
yeah.
Now we have Japan, Italy, and Germany who have declared war on the United States.
That's right.
They were known as the Axis of Power.
Axis.
The Allied powers were the United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, India.
Yeah.
Then the next morning, I believe General Patton would speak to you on the radio.
WRBL Columbus, Georgia. They said he's going to be on. We wonder what he's going to say. He started off like those lousy SOBs, and they cut him off the radio, and they wouldn't let him continue to speak because he was going to really give it nasty. And we knew it, and we'd say, "That's our general." But he never got to deliver the complete speech.
And he knew he was on the radio.
Oh, yeah. He was at the radio station. They had him there. Oh, yeah.
They cut him off.
Yeah. He was that way, though. I mean, that wasn't surprising to us. It was to them, but it wasn't to us.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been in that studio when somebody said to him, "I'm sorry, but we can't let this continue on"?
I bet you he threw a fit.
Didn't he, though, have that famous quote about blood and guts?
Oh, yes.
Tell us how that came about.
Well, he said that when you hit the beaches, it'll be your blood and my guts. And so we called him Blood and Guts.
But he was a leader, and he would be leading you into battle, wouldn't he?
That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be in the lead tank all the time. Of course, they wouldn't allow it. I mean, Eisenhower didn't want his famous general assassinated right away, because he would have been dead pretty quick, because he always said, "You can't push spaghetti, you have to pull it." So he says, "You get out in front and you pull it. You lead the way." We used to get real mad at him, but they always said we fought harder when we were mad at him. He said, "Let the other SOB die for his country. Don't you dare die for yours. Let him die first. Don't ask him who he is or nothing. Shoot first, then ask him who it is."
But you have a tremendous respect for him, didn't you?
Oh, we did, because we knew he was a leader and he would move. His deal was you never stop, you keep moving. Because when you're stopped, you're under fire, and you stay under fire because they get your range. If you keep moving, they have to keep changing their range. That was his theory.